All right, a big hour of Health Naturally with Dennis Stewart. And Dennis, good to see you after a couple of weeks, mate.
Well, it's very good to see you, Mark. I've missed you. You're looking very vibrant in your black T-shirt.
It's the same one, mate. Like Inspector Gadget, you open up the wardrobe and it's the same outfit all the way along.
Yeah, I'm a bit like that, but okay.
Now, Dennis, from time to time you have been talking about the potential of herbs to help, with urinary tract conditions.
Yes.
And you have been encouraged to take up this topic again. A listener that actually have been in contact with you about what we call UTIs, and there is a bit of groundbreaking information you've got for us in this space.
Look, there is. And the whole topic of urinary tract infection is an interesting one, because so many of us, and particularly so many of our women, will experience urinary tract infections. They're nasty, they can be recurrent and very difficult to treat, and the treatment that's offered frequently can outstrip its benefit. And in this context, I think there's a breakthrough substance that has been recently brought into the therapeutic situation, not in the mainstream, but a downstream, and that substance is known as D-mannose. And we'll talk about it in a moment. And I'll preface my remarks by saying that, as far as I'm concerned, my personal prescribing of this substance and my research on it suggests that we may be missing out by not using this enough to treat people that suffer recurring, wretched urinary tract infections.
Dennis, today, UTIs, urinary tract infections, kind of back in your zeitgeist a little bit after a conversation, a consultation, if you will, with someone very recently.
In fact, it's almost uncanny. A patient and then a couple of phone calls, and I was wondering whether the topic was being discussed somewhere, because it was a bit uncanny. But anyway, it encouraged me to take up the topic today. I think I've done it in the past only briefly, because, as I've said at the beginning of the program, I believe that there is a substance now that holds real potential to address chronic or recurring urinary tract infections. And many, many people, particularly women, experience these wretched things, constant discomfort associated with the bladder, the urinary tract, and the whole process of urination and all the dysfunction that goes when infection of that system asserts itself. Now, of course, we have antibiotics, and they are very, very useful, and particularly for managing acute episodes of a cystitis, the occasional event, antibiotic is obviously the right therapy. But what happens when perhaps you might become immune to the benefit of the antibiotic in addressing recurring E. coli infections? And E. coli is the name of the bacterium which is associated with the large percentage of urinary tract infections. What happens when you cease to be as responsive to the antibiotic treatment or some of the other treatments that are offered in mainstream medicine? What do you do? This is where the exciting discovery of D-mannose comes into the picture, because it was in the United States around about 1980, perhaps, that it was discovered that a substance known as D-mannose — and what is D-mannose, people will say? Well, look, it is in fact a kind of sugar. It's related to glucose, a very natural, simple and harmless substance which occurs in fruits, vegetables, and also is in the human body. So when
a preparation that I will enjoy the taste of.
So with it, we're talking about, if you like, a concentrated substance that is technically referred to as a sugar, or a kind of sugar similar to glucose, but which was discovered quite a number of years ago now, around about 1980, by a mother of all people whose daughter was chronically suffering from urinary tract infections and had become unresponsive to antibiotic treatment. Her mother was a researcher. If you like, she may have surfed the net, and good on the net for doing that. And she discovered that D-mannose was a substance that was shown to have some ability to benefit and to treat urinary tract infections where the E. coli bacteria was responsible. It wasn't available. She took the issue and purchased it as a wholesale substance, administered it in teaspoonful dosages. The end of that is history. The young woman had a remarkable recovery from these recurrent infections and went on into womanhood with a history quite different to that which she'd previously experienced. From that point onwards, DMNOs began to develop a reputation, not within the mainstream, but by people that knew about it in alternative medicine circles, in health food stores. It became available as a substance, a safe substance to use for chronic urinary tract infections. I began to become interested in it. I read the article that occurred in Nexus magazine in August, September 2022, entitled The Origin of DMNOs, a Self-Treatment to Eliminate UTOs or UTIs by the American doctor, Dr. Jonathan Wright, who wrote the article, a convincing article, and I've used it subsequently. And I would say to listeners out there, particularly women who are battling with recurrent urinary tract infections, at least consider the use of DMNOs, which is available, very inexpensive, and I consider it to be very safe. Discuss it with your doctor or your urologist. It is entirely up to you. If the mainstream doesn't want to know about it, that's fine. Not everything that works is in the mainstream. I believe DMNOs will go down as a great useful contribution to the management, the natural management of chronic urinary tract infections.
All right, and we'll have a little bit more on those in just a couple of moments. In the meanwhile, g'day, Jennifer at Cohiba. You have a question for Dennis today. What's happening, Jennifer?
Yeah, hi. I was just inquiring about tinnitus, the ringing in your ears. Is there anything you can do about it?
Tinnitus is not an easy condition to treat medically or with the natural medicine approach. And to a large degree, it depends upon the cause of the condition, how advanced it is, et cetera, et cetera. However, okay, even on this program, we have had significant feedback from listeners over the years who have contended that tinnitus, in their case, has been helped sometimes dramatically by using a herb that I mention frequently on this program, and that is the herb ginkgo biloba. Now, I've mentioned it so frequently, and I don't mind mentioning it because I consider it to be one of the most important herbal medicines developed in Germany after the Second World War, developed as a concentrate from the ginkgo tree, the ginkgo leaf, and was subjected there to clinical experience. And in most German references now, and I refer to the work of the German doctor and herbal medicine practitioner, Dr. Rudolf Weiss, in his book, Herbal Medicine, which I have no problem in recommending it to listeners, particularly medical practitioners, pharmacists, and naturopaths. He is the one that, like most German medical literature these days, will present the ginkgo biloba in its medical form as a treatment for tinnitus, so long as, now this is the point, long as you are prepared to work with it for a significant period of time. Taking it for a month or so, you're wasting your money. If you look at the literature, it's anything up to 6 to 9 months before you're able to determine whether or not it's going to help you. And the other thing about it is that it's not only the length of time that might be required to take the substance, but it is also the preparation and the dosage you need to take. And this is where I suggest that if you have tinnitus and you're interested in the ginkgo, you are better to see a health professional, whether that is a pharmacist or people like myself, naturopaths and herbalists that know a lot about the herb, because it will not, and I emphasise, it will not do its job unless time is brought into the equation and the standard preparation of the ginkgo in its in its correct dosage is administered. You do that, do that, and you will conform to the recommendations of the continental literature, and you have a good chance of at least getting some benefit from the herb, albeit if you're going to use the herb, and I've said this on this program before, if you are on other medication, particularly blood thinning medication, if you are to take the herb in its medical form, you would be well advised to let your GP or specialist know so that your blood profile could be monitored. I have never seen this potential reaction, and there's a bit of questioning of it today. But if you're going to try it, if you're on a blood thinner, mention it to your doctor.
No, I can't take a blood thinner. I'm allergic to them. So.
Okay. Well, you may well be a good candidate for this, but let me just say to listeners generally, this is a very medicinal herb or a very medically oriented herb. It's not something, in my opinion, that should be just, how can you call it, moving around as just another supplement. This is a very medicinal substance with multiple benefits and needs to be seen as something that is to be taken properly and ideally under some form of supervision.
Yeah, I understand. Sounds good.
All right, best of luck with everything, Jennifer. Thank you so much for your call. Health Naturally. Graham, you've done all the way up on the North Coast from Maxville, Graham, and you have a question for Dennis on osteoarthritis. What's happening, Graham?
Lots of things. Dennis, I have a few issues with osteoarthritis, neck, shoulders, back, knees and feet.
Yes.
And I was wondering, you've probably discussed this many times before with other people, and I was wondering to know if you could help me at all.
Okay. Graham, osteoarthritis is what we might refer to as a wear and tear type of disease, different to rheumatoid arthritis, which is more inflammatory and autoimmune and more difficult to treat. With osteoarthritis, I believe, from my own prescribing over many years and my own development of my own preparation for osteoarthritis, that it can be helped. Now, I say can be helped. I don't use the word cure. I use the terms can be helped. And to a large extent, even that needs to be qualified by saying the help that can be offered is largely determined by the chronicity of the condition and the areas, the multiple areas in which it might be active. Now, having said that, I don't want you to be despondent, because I see in practice every day people presenting with osteoarthritis, and many of them, as a result of the information that I give them, go on to do better than what they were. The first thing, and you might have used some of these approaches, but I'll go over them slowly. I do believe that the glucosamine and chondroitin emphasis, if you like, is worthwhile taking note of. Now, I know people will say, oh, look, I've tried glucosamine and chondroitin, they didn't work. Again, I would say, if you're going to use those two figurehead natural substances to address osteoarthritis, you need to take on board the time required to see that effect begin to assert itself. And again, you need to be aware of the dosage parameters, particularly with reference to glucosamine. The literature seems to say, Graham, that with glucosamine, which is usually conjointed with chondroitin, that glucosamine takes about 3 months to get to a point where you may be able to notice some significant improvement. And I think that's fair. Anything less than that, I think you're just playing with the substance and you're not perhaps doing as well as what the literature and my experience encourages me to think that you can do. So glucosamine and chondroitin, and there are many preparations around, and most of them would have gone through Therapeutic Goods Administration and most of them would be dosed correctly. But again, I'll emphasise what I said earlier today. If you're going to use this approach, glucosamine and chondroitin, in my opinion, you'd probably be wiser to go to a pharmacist or a natural therapist that knows something about preparations that are correctly dosed and standardised. The other thing I would say with reference to osteoarthritis is that it is very much assisted by what is known as the New Zealand green lip mussel. Now, unfortunately, it has not been given the prominence that, in my opinion, it should be given. I have lectured on the New Zealand green lip mussel to my students for many years. I've ceased lecturing now, but when I was lecturing and I dealt with the muscular and skeletal system, I would go through the discovery of the green lip mussel and talk about the remarkable clinical proving that was done in a major Scottish hospital where very compromised patients with osteoarthritis benefited, sometimes almost miraculously, by going on to the New Zealand green lip mussel. The article, if I'm correct, that I referred to in my lectures was in fact written up in the Lancet magazine, the British Medical Journal, quite a number of years ago, but it was very confirmatory that the New Zealand green lip mussel does work, and its constituents are very similar to that found or that in glucosamine. To that extent, what I did was go on and develop a product called Glucosaplex, which incorporates the glucosamine, the chondroitin, and the New Zealand green lip mussel. And that preparation I have had for my patients and supplied to people that know about it for many, many years, and it has been given me good results. And I would suggest that if you have osteoarthritis and you're not using that approach, you could be missing out on some real benefit. The other thing I would quickly say is that if there is some pain associated with it, there probably is, and you're wanting to get some useful relief and not go down the pathway of conventional non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, my combination to support my Glucosaplex product is to recommend the use of some of the modern concentrates of turmeric known as curcumin, and also to enhance the anti-inflammatory approach by using the standardized preparations of willow bark. In other words, those two herbs prescribed alongside of a Glucosaplex product gives patients, if you like, the benefit of repair perhaps in osteoarthritic conditions or stabilization, whatever the glucosamine does, but it also gives patients some potential useful pain relief from any inflammation that's there. Those two herbs are classic. The oldest herb in history to address inflammatory activity of the joints is, of course, the willow bark. It still works. It always did work. Very safe. And, of course, the modern discovery of the active principle in turmeric, i.e. curcumin, has also added to the armoury of useful anti-inflammatories, analgesic substances. That's not to say in any way that they are the answer, but they are useful for milder levels of pain and inflammatory activity. If I was in your situation, I'd go down that pathway, get back to us down the track and let us know how you've gone.
Okay, Dennis, I appreciate that very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, make sure you get back to Dennis Graham, because that's the key, isn't it, Dennis? We can sort of hear that down the track, you recommended A, B, and C, and XYZ result happened.
Yep.
And good afternoon, Carolyn at East Maitland. We're here with you as well. And another call, another one this time on osteoarthritis. What's your story, Carolyn?
I just want to back up what Dennis has been saying. It doesn't sort of compare. I'm talking about my dog who had the green mussel Pernaease given to him, a Rottweiler, a few years ago. He used to wince and cry, couldn't walk down the steps. And within a couple of weeks of giving him this green mussel solution, he never, ever looked back. I used to give him a quarter of a teaspoon on his food every night. And that dog was running around a two-acre property chasing storms. And I have to say, back up what Dennis is saying, whatever's in that green mussel solution, it works.
Look, I'm glad you've mentioned that, Carolyn, because I feel a little bit sad that it is not as well known as it should be. That's one of the reasons I brought it into my Glucosaplex product with the glucosamine and chondroitin, because it works, in my opinion, as well as or close enough to that which is associated with the two leading remedies that characterise the natural medicine treatment of osteoarthritis today. If you get a chance, I've probably lost the paper, but I'm sure you'd be able to Google it. If you just punched in article on green lip muscle, Lancet, UK,
yep.
I'm sure you'd be able to download that. And I say that to other listeners that might be interested in doing so, because the experience there associated with the prescribing of it by a group of British doctors in Scotland at a well-known hospital is little less than miraculous.
Yeah, I have to say it was a miracle to see my dog.
Yeah,
but like look, go from that to just never ever look back after that. And the other products that the vet has suggested never worked, but this one.
Yeah, it did.
It did, and he lived till he was nearly 14.
Wow.
And fabulous dog, like Rottweiler cross Labrador, great, fabulous dog.
Well, look,
I couldn't stand to see him in pain. Tried it.
It's a credit to you, and I think one of the virtues of this program over the years is that we get feedback such as that from that you've just given us, and encourages me to say to people, look, if the mainstream, for whom I have great regard, by the way, if the mainstream is not helping you or has nothing to help, don't think the game is over. I'm saying to people all the time, you have to fight. You have to research. You have to be prepared to use safe, frequently natural products to treat conditions which have not yielded or are too expensive for the ordinary person to take up.
And just look, go natural. That's what I always say. It's been here for millions of years, all these products, and everyone just...
Western medicine.
I don't know about Western medicine either, for that matter. But...
Well, look, to be fair, I use Western medicine, but I still lament after 50 years of my wife encourages me now, not to say 40 years practice, but 50 years in practice, tells you how old I am, I'm still disappointed.
That maths doesn't add up, Dennis. I'm sorry.
I'm disappointed.
20, I might believe, but not 50.
I'm disappointed that in this country the use of the herb is still not taken seriously enough by the mainstream. And there are probably reasons for that, but I'm sad about that.
I think you have to have attitude. What have you got to lose? That's what I say. So give it a
So long as it's safe. Because occasionally I will hear of people doing absurd things, and that needs to be guarded against. Anything that you're going to try has to be safe, and you should do a little bit of work reading up on it.
Yep.
But I've not noticed in my many years of practice very many people that have hurt themselves by using sensible initiatives to resolve their own problem. And if you're not doing it today, mate... I don't know how you're getting by, because the cost of modern medicine today is basically forcing people to look more and more at alternatives. Fortunately, the alternatives are out there, and you have confirmed that by your use of this.
Best of luck with everything there, Caroline, and we'll come back and wrap up with a little bit more of Dennis with Health Naturally, a little bit more Dennis on D-Manos in a second. Good afternoon, Greg at Rutherford. You have a question, Greg, today on Astragalus and Astragalus 8. You want to know the difference. What's the story for you, Greg?
Yes, I've just been shopping around at chemists, and they have Astragalus. And I said, no, I use Astragalus 8. And they said, no, we don't keep that. So I just wanted to ask Dennis, what's the best one to get?
Astragalus membranaceus is the leading immune stimulant herb in Chinese herbal medicine. Astragalus 8 is a formula of 8 herbs led by Astragalus membranaceus, but accompanied by 7 similar herbs. So the formula itself, in my opinion, is an enhancement of the effect of Astragalus. And as you know, I brought it into the country probably 30 years ago. Astragalus 8 was developed in the US during the AIDS crisis, and was so successful in helping people suffering AIDS, wretched virus, that I gave the first lectures on it in Melbourne and explained that the formula was really the putting together of 8 Chinese famous herbs that had immune system consequences beneficially Astragalus is the leader of the pack, but in my opinion, without the accompanying seven, maybe not doing as best as what it could do.
Best of luck with everything, Greg. We've got about 60 seconds, Dennis, okay. So we're going to try okay. and jam this okay. in if we can. Okay. D-Mano, as you say, it's not an antibiotic.
It's not an antibiotic. What it does is, in fact, lessen the ability of bacteria to survive on the wall of the urinary system. To put it simply, the use of D-Mano's in a diet that incorporates plenty of drinking of fluid flushes, if you like, and that's a crude term, but it gets over, it flushes out the bacteria and lessens their ability to survive and feed on the urinary tract wall.
All right, so that was the idea of D-Mano's in terms of UTI. Sure. Now, a lot of people associate cranberry with help with UTI. Your thoughts on that?
I'll be very brief on this and say that cranberry works similarly, arguably not as best in my opinion, or not as well in my opinion. Put the two together, cranberry and cranberry juice. Let me emphasise that. First quality cranberry juice. In my opinion, a lot of the solid preparations, maybe not as good. Cranberry juice with D-Mano's powder. I can't think at this stage of anything that makes more sense than to treat recurrent urinary tract infections without having to use antibiotics.
One more super quick. Yeah. Where does Java kidney tea fit into the equation?
Oh, look, we could talk all day about it. This is probably one of my last and greatest discoveries, the role of this famous Southeast Asian herb. It shares a great deal of similarity with these two herbs and is used for similar conditions. But I recommend it for conditions where one wants to constantly, if you like, fluidify, flush out the urinary system, even where you're not using potent substances like in cranberry and D-Mano's.
And amazingly, first time in history, we've gone through the entire two pages of your topic.
Well,
today,
I made
Samantha.
It possible for you today because I knew you'd be struggling.
Struggling. All right, Dennis, appreciate it, mate. We'll catch you next week
Thank
for Health
you,
Naturally.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.